Hey, I'm very excited next week as we start this series through the book of Philippians called Joyride. And the theme is joy. And how many know we live in a stressed out world? People are worried, full of anxiety. And God says, rejoice in the Lord always. And so we're going to take several weeks and go verse by verse through the book of Philippians. And we're going to see that God gives us an opportunity to choose joy and enjoy this journey that we're on from here to heaven, okay? So we're excited about that. And then don't forget, this coming Wednesday night is our first Wednesday service, and our very special guest is Jeff Carlson. Jeff and his family are here today, and so we're looking forward to this Wednesday night, this service at 7 o'clock in the Worship Center. Jeff's going to be talking about emotionally healthy spirituality. And what is emotional and spiritual health look like? It's going to be a great, great time. Hey, guys, we need the confidence monitor on the floor. Thank you. And then September 11th, we are starting a once-a-month service on the second Wednesday of every month at 11 a.m., a one-hour service. We're calling it a generations service with hymnals and hymns and a little bit of an older style of service. And it'll be a one-hour service every month. And so all ages are welcome, but we do think it's going to be a little bit more of the older generation that are going to enjoy this. So we encourage you to be part of what God is doing. And then don't forget, groups are starting this week. And so we're very excited about everybody being part of a group. Fight Club kicked off on Friday night. Over 100 guys in Fight Club. All right. Praise God for that. Okay. So it's Labor Day weekend. Next week, everything kind of ramps up. So today, I wanted to take this morning, and I wanted to tag team with Pastor Allison. If you haven't met Pastor Allison yet, she is our kids' pastor. Her and her husband, Brian, moved here from California 5-6 weeks ago.
Yeah, I think this is week six.
Week six, all right. So would you take a moment and just introduce yourself to the people who have never met you, and just tell us a little bit about your story.
Yeah, so my name is Pastor Allison. My husband is Brian. He's right there.
Wave your hand, Brian, so everybody can see.
There he is. We just got married.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Like 4 months ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we moved here from California, so you know it was Jesus who brought us here. And between myself and him, we have 29 years of children's ministry experience, which is kind of a lot because we both look young and I sound young. So it kind of goes together.
So one of the things about your voice, fun fact, she tried out for the voice of Lilo and Stitch and almost got that part for Lilo.
Yeah. Yeah. Lilo's the girl, not the alien.
All right, so you don't have the voice of an alien.
No, but that is a fun fact. So we're very excited to be here, and it is totally different, but it's different in a good way, so
right.
That's good.
Hashtag Hoosier Hospitality.
Yes.
That's really what that's what won you over.
Yes.
Hoosier Hospitality. That and tornadoes.
Yeah.
She lives in the land of earthquakes, and she was afraid of the tornadoes. Yeah, so it'll work out for you. Praise God. Every time you hear a tornado warning, please pray for Pastor Allison.
Seriously, please do.
All right. So today, what we want to do, we have taken the last three Sundays, and our focus has been on generations. And we've celebrated the older generation, the family generation, and then last week, our focus was on millennials and Generation Z. And we talked about how important that generation is. And so today, I felt like it was a good idea to follow up with that, and this is a message I've wanted to do for a long time, and today I wanted to share with you the vision that we have as a church to do this. Here's our vision, is we want to partner with parents to train spiritual champions who serve God the rest of their lives. I want to take a few minutes today, and what we want to do is we want to explain the what and the why of how kids ministry and student ministry works here at Grace. And the reason it's so important is because we want to partner together with you as parents. Some of you are grandparents that have grandkids living with you. Some of you are guardians of kids. And we just want to say from the very beginning that this is our goal. I think all of us can say this, is that in 3 John chapter 1, verse 4, it says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth.
Yeah.
And I think I can speak for all parents when I say that's the goal. When they're young, when they're old, And when they pass away, they will be following Jesus. Because at the end of the day, we want every one of our kids, our grandkids in heaven with us. Yeah. Am I in the right church today?
Yeah.
And so this morning, we want to talk about our vision as a church, how we are going to help you do that. I think this message is one of the most important that we've ever shared. It's a little bit of a different format than some of you are used to. But I wanted to do it in this way so that we could just cast vision. And then I believe that after today, this is how I'm praying, is that every parent here will accept the mantle of leadership in your home, and that as a result of that, destinies will be changed.
Yeah.
Families will be changed. The future will be changed because of what we talk about here today. So would you mind if we just took a moment and let's pray? Let's pray for today. Let's pray for today's services, and let's pray for all of us that we would hear God's voice clearly. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of today. And God, we're talking about something that's so important to you, children, students. And we pray today that we would get your heart and your vision for kids. And Lord, we pray as a result that we would be different, that we would have courage to minister to kids. Lord, that we would have the willingness to reach out and make a difference in their lives. And God, we pray for a generation of students, a generation of young men and young women, boys and girls. Lord, we want them to know you. And we want them to know you the rest of their lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen.
Amen.
So when we look at this verse, we know what is a win in church. What is a win in family? We want our kids to love Jesus. Yes, we want our kids to be successful. We want our kids maybe even to make money. Some of you want your kids to be famous or whatever. But can I tell you, all of those things are okay, but none of them are most important. The most important thing for your kids is that they love Jesus and they walk with him and they are a disciple of Jesus Christ. That is what matters. Because Jesus put it this way. He said, what was going to profit a man if he has 1 million Twitter followers or makes millions of dollars or is world famous? What if he gains the whole world but he loses his own soul? Jesus said, we got to focus on what matters. What truly matters is the things that last forever. And that's the souls of boys and girls and young men and young women. And so today, that's what we're going to talk about, the vision for what we're doing together. And so that's the vision that we have. And I want to revisit that here. I think it'll come up in just a second. But the vision is to partner with parents to train spiritual champions who serve God the rest of their lives. Now, why is it such a big deal? Well, the reason is because Josh McDowell has estimated that between 69% and 94% of church's young people are leaving the traditional church after high school, and very few are returning. I want to pause for a moment, let that sink in. Between 60 and 96% kids who grow up in the church, when they get out of high school, they walk away from the faith, never to return. We should put a big fat red F. We are failing if that's true. And the reality is there are many more studies that talk about this reality that is so, it's bad. And so if it's true, if these statistics are true, then we've got to fix it. We've got to change how we do church. We got to change how we approach ministry for the sake of our kids. I know I'm in the right church today, okay? And that's what we're going to talk about here this morning. So talk about this reality in your own life, Allison, about people walking away from the faith.
Yeah, well, I grew up going to church every single Sunday with kind of a core group of kids, you know, the kids that come week after week. And it's really sad to say that a majority of those kids are no longer attending church as adults. They're not involved in faith at all, and some have walked away from believing that God exists. And the sad part is, it's not kids that just never heard about God and never knew God. It's our kids who grew up inside of our churches. And so what we want to do is be strategic about this issue. We want to be strategic and kind of meet it right before it even starts.
Good. I think a lot of us have the same story. I grew up in the church as well. I grew up in a smaller church. I was in a youth ministry with volunteer youth pastors, you know, and they kind of rotated. You know, their heart was in it, but then it got really hard and really difficult. And so I think what we've come to terms with the fact is, what can we do now to partner with parents to train spiritual champions? That's our heart. And so a few years ago, I did a master's program with the Assemblies of God Theological Seminary, and the final project, I was studying the discipleship of kids, specifically, how do kids get faith that lasts a lifetime? And so read about 50 books, hundreds of hours of research, and so I found five keys that are really important that increase the odds that a child, a student, is going to serve God the rest of their lives. Because how many know there's no guarantee that a child is going to serve God? Some of you have done everything possible, and still your children aren't serving the Lord because there's such a thing as free will, right? But there are some things that we can do that increase the odds, that help them, and that's what I want to talk about here today. Let me show them to you briefly, and that is the very first one is, if we want kids to serve God all of their lives, then we need to start spiritual training when they are young.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, the younger, the better, right? You can't wait until they're a teenager, can't wait till they're a young adult, because by then, their worldview's already formed and all of that. Talk about the importance of starting when they're young, Allison.
Yeah, well, in our nurseries and things like that, people often look at children's ministry as babysitting, particularly when kids are babies. But really, if you look at it, that the nursery really has the first opportunity to introduce kids to the presence of God. And you look at preschool as really the first opportunity that the church has to introduce themselves as God's family. It begins to change the framework and the way we think about how kids will see faith for the rest of their life.
And the reality is, the sooner we start training them when they're young, the more impressionable they are and the longer it lasts. All kinds of research that bears this up. There's a reason why Catholics say, give us a child until they're 8, we'll make them Catholics for life. That's not a joke. That's a real deal. How many your hand, but that's reality, because we understand the power when they're young. Now, here's something that's also very important, and that is, parents take the lead in discipling their children. And this is probably the most important factor when it comes to lifetime faith, is that parents don't leave this to the church. They don't leave the responsibility of discipling their kids to the kids pastor or the youth pastor or the lead pastor or the church programs or this or that or the other. Because let me just tell you, it's not about the right kids pastor, although we have the right one, all right? And it's not about the youth pastor or whoever's on staff. Listen, you are the primary person who is going to play a role in them having faith and keeping faith for a lifetime.
Yeah.
I know that's a shift in some thinking that, hey, I thought this was the church's job. It is not the church's job. It is the parents' job. It is your job. If God gave you children, welcome to the team. You are now a discipler, and that's what God has called you to do. We'll talk about that here in just a minute. And then another big factor, if kids are going to serve Jesus all their life, is they have to have biblical literacy. They've got to know the Bible. Can you talk about that for a second, Allison?
Yeah, well, we're going to talk more about that in just a few minutes. But we want kids to know the Bible and also know God personally. And so something that we're starting is our new curriculum is going to go through the entire Old Testament every 3 years. So if your kid comes consistently for 3 years, they'll hear every major theme and major Bible story that way. And every single year we'll go through the New Testament, starting with the birth of Jesus and his resurrection and ascension into heaven. And we'll highlight different miracles of Jesus each year. So kids really get a holistic view of who God actually is.
I was invited to speak at a pre-K class earlier this week, and I went there, and they asked me to read a Bible story. And so I was asking the four-year-olds a question. I said, what's your favorite Bible story? And this one particular four-year-old boy talked about Jesus and his cat. I assured him that was not in the Bible. I just wanted to share that. It's kind of funny if a four-year-old says that, but when you're older and you don't know what the Bible says, that's a tragedy when we have the Word of God literally everywhere. And remember, the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. So parents, we have to make sure whether we're reading Bible stories to them as babies or just having discussions about faith and the Word of God when they're old, we have to have a plan that they know the Old Testament and the New Testament, okay? And then a biblical worldview. We've got to help kids come to terms with understanding the world through the lens of the Bible. How many know you can read the news, you can find out what's going on, and everybody's given a different opinion. Our goal is to use biblical glasses to see the world, to see abortion, to see politics, to see suffering, to see evil through the eyes of the Bible. And sadly, the research tells us that this generation, 4% of them has a biblical worldview.
Wow.
Only 4%. So we've got some work to do. And then one more, there it is, sharing faith and serving others. So this is a key to kids having faith that is their own and lasts a lifetime. They've got to learn to share their faith. That's called evangelism, and serve other people, which means the world is not centered around them, that they need to serve others, not when they're adults. Serve others now,
yeah.
All right? And so those are really key factors. And obviously, this comes straight from the Bible. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, the people of God are leaving Egypt. They're about to go into the promised land. And so God gives them instructions for their children. Let's read it together. He says, "These are the commandments and statutes and ordinances that the Lord your God has instructed me to teach you to follow in the land that you are about to enter and possess, so that you and your children and grandchildren may fear the Lord your God." Would you say these yellow words with me? "All the days of your lives." So from the very beginning, this is God's goal. Serve God every day of your life. This is how you train your kids to serve God every day of your life. And so it's not just something that you can do every now and then, right?
Right. So we want you and your family to be part of the church. And we like to celebrate milestones like baby dedications and graduations and birthdays. And if you didn't know, tomorrow is Pastor Wayne's birthday. So we want to sing happy birthday to you. There it is. So let's go. 1, 2, 3. Happy birthday.
What's my name?
Happy
I just want to show you that 50 is the new 20.
That was good.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. You're
well,
so kind.
You're welcome. I actually do have something to say about this point, though. So I have two assistants that I'm going to welcome to the stage, Laura and Sophia. Welcome my assistants to the stage. Because being a children's pastor, I obviously have an object lesson to help you better understand this point. So you hold an end, and you hold an end. Uh-oh, we got a little tangled in our seats here. You're doing great. There you go. All right, so go ahead and stretch this rope out. It's pretty long. How long do you think this is? She has no idea, she says, because it's very long. In fact, it is 168 inches long. Now, you might not know this, but there are 168 hours in your week. 7 days a week equals 168 hours. So there is 1 inch for every hour that your kid has a week. So this includes school time and bedtime and tantrums and homework and time with friends and mealtimes and all of the in-between. And this little bitty hour and a half represents your child's time at church, assuming that you get to church on time. So let's imagine that you never did anything else spiritual any other day of the week except you brought them to church every single Sunday for a year. Now, if you brought your kids to church every single Sunday for a year, your kids would receive 78 hours of spiritual training. That actually doesn't sound that bad. That's kind of a long time. Until you compare it to the 8,760 hours that there are in a year. Now, assuming that you're the average person. I know you guys are all above average, but the average church attender only comes twice a month. So let's say that you and your family are the average church family, and you come twice a month. If you never do anything else spiritual in your kid's life, but bring them to church two times a month for a year, your child will only receive spiritual influence for 36 hours the entire year. That is not very long at all. You guys can go ahead and sit down. Give it up for my assistants here. Thank you very much. So here's the reality. 36 hours is not enough time to help us make spiritual disciples. But there is hope. The Bible tells us exactly what we should be doing in order to train up people to follow Jesus for a lifetime. And so the verse is in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. It says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These words I am commanding to you today are to be upon your hearts. And you shall teach them diligently to your children and speak of them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as reminders on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates." So Jesus's example of how to make child disciples for life is to talk about him as much as possible. And it's kind of crazy because if you think about it, even if we are not influencing our kids spiritually, the world is constantly influencing our kids against God. It used to just be away from God, right? People would walk away from faith. But the world has such a warped view of who the church is and who Jesus is and what faith looks like. The world really wants your kids to be anti-God. And so we have to be strategic about teaching kids about who Jesus is. Because how many of you know the future is not built tomorrow, the future is built today? If you want your life to look different a year from now, you need to start making choices and developing habits right now that are going to change that for you. So in the same way, if you want your kids to be serving Jesus in 10, 20, 50 years from now, you have to be sure that your kids are developing the habits and taking the steps on their faith journey that will last a lifetime.
Absolutely. And the verse from Deuteronomy reminds us, when you go home, when you walk down the road, when you're driving to Starbucks, I know that's in the updated version.
The Message.
Yeah, Message. Well, that's funny. All right. That's talking about way more than just take them to church. He's talking about everyday life. And so parents take the lead, and you do it consistently in the lives of their kids. So let's talk about partnering with parents.
Yeah.
So we understand as a church that we can't do it as far as winning, you know, doing all of the discipleship of kids.
Yeah.
Parents many times don't feel adequate to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, some parents right now are going, oh my goodness, you know, God expects me to do this? How? That's what we want to talk about now. How do we partner with parents to disciple their kids?
Yeah, well, the first thing that we're doing is we're including every kid, no matter their age, in our strategy to disciple kids. Okay, so like I said, nursery introduces kids to the presence of God, and kindergarten introduces kids to Bible basics, just like elementary does. And starting next Sunday, we're launching a brand new group for 5th through 8th graders that will be on Sunday mornings, and it's going to help kids put their faith into practice. So we include every kid, no matter their age, in this overarching strategy. But really, the way that we do that is we make sure that our vision in Grace Kids reflects the vision of Grace Assembly, so even in the big church.
Right. So around here, we talk a lot about we want people to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. So our vision is that people will know God personally. That's knowing God. So we share our faith. We invite them to church. Like next week, Joyride, we're going to bring people. Why? Because we want them to know God personally.
Yeah.
Find freedom is all about doing life together, groups. And that's why we talk about groups all the time, because we want to reject isolation. And then discover purpose is everybody's wired by God to do something great and then make a difference learning to serve other people. So talk about what that means in kid language.
Yeah, so we've translated all of these phrases into kid language. So know God becomes spend time with God. Find freedom becomes spend time with others. I'm going a little fast, sorry. Discover purpose.
They're following you, you're good.
Perfect. Discover purpose becomes use your gifts, and make a difference becomes share your story. So what we've done is strategically change the words to make it easy for kids to understand what we're doing. So for example, know God becomes spend time with God. Because how many of you know that you can know a lot about something without ever truly knowing it? Like, are there any parents of high schoolers here? Yeah, okay, so when I was in high school learning to drive, I got the little book with the rules of the road.
Yep.
I was reading that.
It's called a driver's manual.
Yep, see, okay. I was reading that all the time, and I probably had that memorized. I knew exactly how many feet needed to be ahead of me before I put on my signal and all of the hand things, if your blinker's out. I knew all that stuff. It doesn't look like this.
Keep going. Yeah, good.
So I knew.
I'm enjoying this.
I knew all of this information.
It's like I'm teaching my kids to drive all over again.
Yeah, this was a long time ago.
I understand.
So.
What age do they drive in California?
15.
Wow.
15 and a half. So, anyways, back to my story.
Sorry.
I remember this one time in particular, my mom took me out driving, and we were just going down the street to our local park. And as I sat in the driver's seat, I realized really quickly I did not have the confidence I needed to be a safe driver. Because as we're going down the road, cars coming the other way started to really scare me. There was like a lot of pressure I was feeling because they were going a different direction. And so I started to kind of get close to the edge of the street. Like the sidewalk. And my mom says, Allison, you're getting too close to the edge. You're getting off track. Get closer to the center. And so I get closer to the center, but this kept happening, right? And I hear my mom, but I'm just like so afraid at that moment. My mom says, Allison, boom! I ran into three trash cans and I spilled garbage all over the street. And honestly, I was just so embarrassed. I put it in park, unclicked my seatbelt, and just slid into the back seat because I didn't want anybody to see me. Because the thing is, I knew a lot about driving, but I didn't have the experience I needed to know how to drive. So in the same way, if we don't allow kids to be the church when they're with us, they won't know how to be the church when they leave us. They can know a lot about church without ever really knowing how to be a follower of Jesus. And when pressure is going in another direction, trying to take them somewhere else, they won't know how to stay on the right track. You with me? So what we want to do is partner with you, parents and grown-ups, to have not just two Christian influences in your life, in your kid's life. We want to have two combined influences that are working towards the same goal. So what we've created is this parent handbook, which every adult can take one when you leave. Please just take one. And in
so we've made enough for everybody
yeah,
to take one.
Everybody can get one.
All right.
Yeah, but don't take like eight because
right.
you love them so much.
Exactly.
Just take one. And in this, it outlines our discipleship and our learning plan starting from next Sunday through the end of 2020. So let me say that again. In this book outlines every single lesson that your child is going to learn here at Grace, starting from next Sunday through the end of 2020. That's crazy.
That's a lot of work that Allison has done. Would you give it up with that kind of work to do that? And that's really good because, you know, you're not going to, if somebody's in the nursery or somebody's in Grace Kids or somebody's in Grace JV, they're not going to be learning three different things, right?
Exactly.
They're all going to be learning the same topic, but in age-appropriate ways.
Yeah, totally, because we've aligned our teaching strategies. So the days of multiple handouts from different groups, those days are over. We are all going to be learning the same way in highly engaging, age-appropriate ways. So it's very exciting.
Sounds like a strategy.
It is a strategy.
Well, and the goal is to help parents so that you'll know what Sundays are all about, and you can actually use that as a springboard into spiritual conversations with your kids.
Yeah.
Hey, all of a sudden you're a discipler. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. So you don't have to ask, what did you learn today? You have the ability to start the conversation
at a deeper level.
You can
also read the book
level.
And know what they're talking about the next day.
Exactly.
And be prepared.
Be prepared.
To read the story yourself.
Yes. Because
right,
the truth is, you are the very best chance that your kid has at finding a place in the kingdom of heaven. Not me, not Pastor Wayne, you. You were chosen by God to do this, and we want to partner with you so you have the tools you need to make it happen.
I know when sometimes when parents hear this, that God has chosen them to be the lead discipler of their kids, immediately they feel like they can't. Like, I don't know enough about the Bible. I don't know what to say. What would you have to say to those parents?
The thing is, it's not about perfect parenting. It's about imperfect parenting with an alignment towards Christ. Your kids don't need you to be perfect. They need you to be authentic. And to tell them, hey, it's okay to make mistakes. In fact, you're going to make some. But our goal is to try and be more like Jesus every single day. Does that make sense? So even if you can pick out a million mom or dad fails in your mind, God has still chosen you for this moment and this time. Because your kids need to know the truth. Like, the world offers them loneliness and anxiety and depression and tells them that that's normal. But your kids need to know the truth is that there is a God who loves them, who made them on purpose and for a purpose. Because your kids are going to outgrow the things that I teach them. They are. They're going to outgrow the songs. They're going to outgrow the object lessons. And that's good. We actually want that. But what your kids will never outgrow is what God does through them. I was 13 years old when I was called into ministry. I went to a kids' camp, and I heard God say more clearly than ever before, you're going to be a kids' pastor. And I went home, and I told my parents and my children's pastor and my lead pastor and anybody that I talked to, people at the grocery store and all over my town knew I was going to be a children's pastor. And God orchestrated it where the right people came into my life at the right time. And just 3 months later, I had my first opportunity to preach to a group of 500 kids and adults from all over Northern California and Nevada. And I didn't get that opportunity because I was articulate or because I was funny or I was a pastor's kid, because I wasn't any of those things. I had braces and I had bangs, and it was not a good combination. But what I did have...
Please post a picture later today.
That won't be happening. But what I did have was a call on my life, and adults who saw that calling on my life, who called it out of me, who took a chance on believing that God could do something amazing through a little girl. And I just, like, can't get this out of my head. What would our church look like? What would Grace Assembly of God look like if we, every adult in this room, saw kids not as annoyances or interruptions or distractions, but we saw them as divine appointments? And what if we left a legacy of raising up the next generation of kids and young people to love God passionately? We weren't about hype or emotion. We were about transformation. That would be crazy.
That would be awesome. That's what we want, right? We've been talking about some pretty cool ways that you are, as a kids pastor, you're going to help align parents with what's going on in their kids' lives and talking to them about it. Can you talk about a couple of those ideas?
Yeah, so we have some new things kind of in the queue. The first thing is we're going to be emailing out a parent tip video every month, and that's going to be something that's relevant to your kids. So it might be like, four YouTubers your kid is watching but probably shouldn't, and things like that. You're suddenly going to be the most cool parent on the block. So
you hear that? She's going to make you cool. How did you learn about that, Pastor Allison, in the Holy Spirit?
Yes. So we also are working on something that will hopefully be in the near future, and it's going to be a text opt-in option where you'll text in one time and you'll be added to a list of people that every Monday you would receive a graphic of the memory verse from the day before. So you can put it as your lock screen and your kids' lock screens on their cell phones and devices, and it would have conversation starters for you to have this, the ability to have deeper conversations with your kids.
So like if you're in the waiting, you know, you're waiting with your kids in your car, pull out your phone. Hey, this is the memory verse. What do you think that means? And you talk about it. Just like Deuteronomy says, while you're going around the road and driving to Starbucks and stuff like that, wherever you're at, just have, sometimes I think we as parents think, well, we've got to have these family devotions, certain time of day, blah, blah, blah. And that's great if you do that. But Deuteronomy is talking about much more than that. It's talking about doing life and filtering life through God's word and through his presence. And that's powerful.
Yeah. Right. You know, we want, our goal is more than just good behaved nice kids.
Right.
Our goal is more than those well-behaved kids. Our goal is to have followers of Jesus who are passionate about him and his word and who he is. And good behavior is not the pursuit. Good behavior is the fruit of Jesus at work in your kid's life. So if you have a...
You got to say that one again. Good, that sounds like a rap. It's really good.
Yeah. Those are from my California days. Good behavior... No, just kidding.
I'm trying, but I'm almost 50.
Good behavior is not the pursuit. It's the fruit of Jesus at work in your kid's life.
That's right.
So if you have a not well-behaved kid, don't lose hope. Our goal is that they know Jesus in a transformative way.
Right. Because Deuteronomy says you want to touch their heart. Yeah. That's the key. All right. Let's take the last few minutes and let's talk about structure, what kids ministry, student ministry looks like here at Grace. And so for instance, it starts 0 to 5. We're not waiting. We're starting with their young. So this is the nursery, 0 to 5 years old, when kids are going to come there. And then K through 4th grade is Grace Kids. And so we've switched up the grades a little bit because this is an elementary service. And then the new thing that we're doing now is I'll let you guys switch it. There you go. I'm just going to put that down. You guys have control. All right. Grace JV. And this is 5th through 8th grade. And this is important because some fifth, you know, we've had this discussion off and on for years. You know, when does youth ministry begin and kids ministry end? Is it 6th grade? Is it 5th grade? And it seems to always get younger. So what we've done is we've created this bridge where there are options.
Yeah.
If a child who is 5th or 6th grade, they feel like, hey, they're old enough, they want to come to the worship center. They can. But they're not, some aren't ready yet to do that, so they'll jump into this Grace JV. And so all the way up to 8th grade if they want to. Now, and that doesn't mean if you're part of Grace JV, you're not part of Grace Students. Grace Students meets every Sunday night. It's 6th grade through 12th grade. You can do both.
Yeah.
Or either or. So it's options.
Yeah, it's basically a hybrid between children's ministry and youth ministry for that awkward, mushy middle in-betweenager stage. You know,
in-betweenager.
Yeah.
That's good.
If you have a middle schooler, you know what I'm talking about, that awkward stage. So we're splitting it between the two, and it's just to supplement what is already available to them.
Right. So we're excited about that. We're actually renovating a room upstairs just for this new group. So let's meet the team that you have, the Grace Kids team. All right. It's going to... be back there. They're up there?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to stand up, if you don't mind, so I can see these guys. So over here, the second from the right, that is Shelby Page, and she leads our Grace Littles, our nursery team, and she is a great leader taking care of your kids. So let me encourage you, if you have a child 0 to 5 years old, Shelby's your hero. Be nice to Shelby, encourage her, thank her all the time, and then volunteer and be on the kids' dream team.
Woo!
You're welcome. All right. And then on the right is Matt Heisley, and Matt has been serving in the elementary service for a better part of a year now, doing a great job. He will continue to lead that Sunday morning service of kindergarten or through 4th grade. All right. And then over here to the left of Allison is her husband, Brian, and he's leading the Grace JV that is going to begin next Sunday. So this new format begins next Sunday.
9 a.m. and 11 a.m.
Yeah, both services. And then to our left is all of our heroes in kids ministry. That's Lori Richardson. Ooh. She just works so hard behind the scenes making it all happen. So we praise God. We praise God for all of that. All right, so let's bring this in for a landing so we can pray. And there we go. So here's our takeaways from today. I think it's safe to sit down.
Yeah.
All right. So what? So we talked about this. What's the action points? What do we do? Here's number one. Parents, take the lead in discipleship of your kids.
Yeah.
Today. Right now. It's your calling. If you have a child, grandparents, some of you have grandkids living at your house, take the lead. Don't be passive about this. Matter of fact, this is the most important thing in their life. I'm gonna challenge a few things, so just be ready, stick your toes underneath your chair. It's more important than baseball and football and cheerleading and band. And I'm going to go ahead and say it's more important than academics. It's more important than friends. It's more important than their phone. It's more important than anything else. This is your most important calling.
Yeah.
Would you treat it like that?
Yeah.
Would you approach it like that? Your greatest calling, if you're a parent, is those kids while they live with you. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Now I'm talking to you as a parent myself of two boys, you know, love sports, love it all of the above. But my most important calling, Tracy and I's most important calling, is those two boys serving Jesus. That's it. And so parents, let me encourage you. You may be afraid. You may be thinking, just do it. God will help you. He would not have put you in the position that he's in if he was not able to provide you what you need to do it. Yeah. And here's the good news. You are part of a church that will help you, that will equip you to have these spiritual conversations with your kids, all right? So the next one is, here's an option, is Junior Bible Quiz. Junior Bible Quiz is a discipleship program that the Assemblies of God has created, and it's really a great tool at biblical literacy. There are 576 questions in the Junior Bible Quiz Fact Pack, and so this begins in a couple weeks, Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock, and basically you're learning about the Old Testament and the New Testament together. Now, this is important because when I was doing my study in this master's program, I came across a survey that made the bold statement that 90% of kids who do Junior Bible Quiz for 4 years and their parents are part of the program, 90% don't walk away from the faith after high school.
That's awesome.
I'm going to pause for a second. And so I did my own research, did my own surveys, and guess what I found? 90% of kids who do Junior Bible Quiz for at least 4 years and their parents are involved in the process are still involved in the church as adults. Wow. And if you already have a plan to disciple your kids, you keep doing that plan. If you don't have one, jump into Junior Bible Quiz after the service is over. Christy and her team will be out there, and you can find out more information about being a part of that. That's kindergarten through sixth grade, and that's separate from the services, so you can find out more details about that. Okay, and then here's another takeaway. Kids and students should serve now. All right? Kids serve now. Did you know kids can be greeters with you? All right? Yeah. Serve now. Students, serve now. Share your faith now. Serve other people now. Don't wait until you're older. Do it now. Why not your entire family serve on one of the dream teams together? I've seen several families, you know, greeting at the door together or doing whatever. Find a place to serve, and you'll be teaching them. And we'll keep going here with the next one, and that is join the Grace Kids team.
Yes, please.
Talk about it. Go ahead.
I just think the children's ministry is literally the only ministry in the church where if you mess up, everybody's going to forget and forgive you in like 2 minutes. There are kids upstairs and downstairs who need grown-ups outside of their parents who see them as valuable people and who can pour God's love out to them. And it's going to be an awesome time. Good things are happening. So there's never been a better time than right now.
And imagine this scenario. What if people here in this room, you said, I want this to be my team, my dream team. And so every Sunday, I'm in the three-year-olds in the nursery in the 9 o'clock service. And all of a sudden, those kids have the same person every week. Those parents interact with the same volunteer every week. All of a sudden, relationships start to build. And it's way different than just, I'm putting my time in. I'm actually building relationships for the kingdom of God.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like that.
Yeah.
I think the Lord's trying to say something to some people about that. Yeah. All right, let's keep going. And the last one is a missions trip. Our goal at our church is that before a student graduates high school, that they go on a missions trip outside the United States.
That's good.
That's our vision. That's one of the reasons it's always a kingdom builder project for missions trips for students, is because we understand that it has an incredible mark on a student's life if they get out of their own American context and give God a chance to use them in another country. The statistics go way up when kids go on a missions trip as far as their faith and keeping their faith after high school. So parents, let me encourage you, no matter what it takes, no matter how expensive it is, make sure your kids go on a missions trip before they graduate high school. And hey, here's an idea. Why don't you take a trip together?
Yeah.
That will be even better. All right? So this morning, we want to close today. We want to pray. And Pastor Allison, if you would pray for all of the kids and the students for our church, and then I'm going to come behind and I want to pray for parents, guardians. If you have a child who is 1 or 2 or 15 or 45, I want to pray for you today that God would give us all as a parent what we want. So on that day, when we stand before the Lord, I want Braden and Elliot standing beside me. And Tracy. Isn't that what you want? That's what I want. So I'm praying with you as a parent, because I'm still doing this. But that's what we want. That's our heart. So Allison, if you'd pray for our kids and our students.
Dear God, thank you for every student and child that is in this church right now. God, thank you, Lord, that you've brought them here and that you have a plan and a purpose for their life, God, that you have amazing things in store for them. Father, I pray that you would give them big dreams even now, God, big dreams of things they could do for you. Lord, I pray there would never be a time that they didn't recognize your voice, God. But I pray, God, that they would hear your word and it would inspire them to action. Father, I pray, God, that it would take deep roots in their heart and in their spirit. And that this generation that is in our church right now would be called to rise up, God, and blaze a trail for their friends and their neighborhoods and their families, God. I pray, Father, that you would just use them in mighty, mighty ways, that they would grow to love you, God, and to love your church. Father, help us be good stewards of them, God. Help us lead them well. Help us to see the value that you see them with, God. We love you and we trust you. And we thank you, God, for the amazing things that you're doing already and for the amazing things that you have in store for them, Father.
And Lord, we pray together as parents for our kids. Some are praying for our grandkids. Some of us are guardians of other people's kids, but they're in our house. God, would you help us? Would you anoint us to lead our kids, to lead by example, to pray for them? God, right now I'm praying for a mantle of courage to come upon every dad, every mom, every guardian in their home. God, we pray that today, right now, we receive your anointing, your help. Matter of fact, if you're a parent, would you just extend your hands to the Lord like this? And just whisper a prayer or breathe a prayer like this. Lord, I receive your mantle. Lord, I receive your anointing. God, I receive your power to disciple my kids. Give me courage. Give me direction. Help me, Lord, to do this. You've given these children to me as a gift, and I recognize that I want to be a good steward of that gift. So Lord, would you help me today? Would you give me wisdom to know what to say? And Lord, just start the spiritual conversations. And God, help me to lead by example, to follow Jesus myself. In Jesus' name.